Talking about money is hard. People all over the world were taught never to talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. But on this show, my goal is to remove money from that list. And so I'm excited to bring you 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning from Blind Nil Audio and executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines. Follow and listen to 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning with me, Carl Richards, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, and welcome back to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the show where we laugh about motherhood so that we don't just completely break down and cry about motherhood. It's amazing, it's rewarding, and some days it's super duper challenging. So my guest today for episode 58 is Brandi Lee. She has been on the show before, and she's my first repeat guest. She made such an impact on you guys and on me when she talked about her work in Uganda with single moms. So I asked her to come back and talk to us today about trauma. Our trauma, why should we walk through it? Is it worth it? What's the point of that? Will it help anything? And then how do we walk through trauma with loved ones, friends, family, children? You're going to learn a lot. I learned so many things. She made so many good points. I try to title these episodes as I edit them, and I'm sitting here looking at like seven different titles because there were so many good things. I thought, that's the title. Then she'd say something else and I'd say, well, that's the title. So I still have no idea what I'm going to call it other than just a whole lot of quality goodness. It's like free counseling session right here. So just keep this one on repeat. I promise you'll be a healthier person. So it's a little long. I'm not going to say a whole lot of words in the beginning and the end of this one, just because the big bosses at Mom Struggling Well get on my case when the episodes get long. You know, corporate America. What are you going to do? So anyway, we're going to jump right in. You're going to love it. So let's go. Hello.
Hello.
So how are you?
I am good. I just got back from a run, but it wasn't, okay, I just got back from a walk. Let's all be honest. I maybe ran 10% of it this time, but a 17-hour workday yesterday and today being a fasting day means I just need to be glad I got outside.
Tell me about fasting. How often do you do that?
Once a week.
Okay, and it's the same day?
Yep, every Tuesday. We call it iFast 58.
Okay.
So it's really started after reading Isaiah 58, where it says, true fasting is this. Is it not to loose the chains of injustice and to set the oppressed free, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked? Like, it's just this beautiful passage.
Okay.
So I began fasting, which I had never done before, kind of with that passage in mind of really spending time every time I was hungry, praying for the poor, the hungry, and the oppressed.
Okay.
And then it just sort of evolved into this thing. So there are like 20 organizations and we all pray and fast on Tuesdays.
Huh.
They email me prayer requests on Monday nights and I compile all of them and send them out to anybody who wants to fast with us on Tuesdays. And then we pray through all of the prayer requests from all around the world and all these amazing organizations.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's so fun. And it's so fun because it keeps us on the same team for one.
Yeah.
People doing really hard work and going into really deep and dark places and begging God for provision or whatever it is. It really keeps us on the same team because we are before the Father on a regular basis for one another.
Yeah. The enemy would want you guys to compete.
Exactly. Exactly. And since that is such a huge thing for me, that I want to be somebody who celebrates instead of competes.
Yeah. You're pretty competitive.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm really competitive. We're going to play a game. I will beat you.
Yeah. no question.
But only because I really, really love games. So I'm not a very competitive person.
Okay.
But I see the damage that competition does in the world.
Yeah.
And it makes me really, really sad.
Yeah.
And I see the competition that happens in nonprofits and the church and women. And I think so much of it is because of our scarcity mentality and because of our wounds.
For sure.
Instead of when we all do kind of our own work and we know our own value, then we don't think that somebody else's value takes away from ours.
Yep.
I really am passionate about kind of being a catalyst for people celebrating one another.
Okay, so I have a question though. Practically, you just don't eat all day. That's it?
Right.
I mean, I understand the concept of fasting, but...
So for me, I don't eat, but I drink whatever I want.
Okay.
I mean, within reason.
I'm like, wow, this sounds like a great Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, if you don't eat and you do drink alcohol, not a good plan.
That's very true.
So I'll have, you know, a bunch of water, but also probably have a chai tea.
Okay.
Midday, give me a little bit of calories or a large Coke.
Yeah. Okay.
So that I have a little caffeine and, you know, I won't fast in Uganda.
Why?
Just because of the amount of energy I need to pour out during the day.
That makes sense.
That I need to, I really need the nutrition. And so here, the nice thing about fasting for the poor and the hungry and the oppressed is that being hungry is a good reminder to pray for the hungry.
Mm, yeah.
It really works. It's a good object lesson, like I love using with my kids.
Yeah.
I really have come to love it. And anybody is welcome to join us for iFast 58 on Tuesdays. You know, anybody who wants to can email me at Brandi, BrandiLEA, the letter G, at gmail.com. And I will add them to the iFast prayer list and they can get the prayer requests.
That's awesome.
But fasting for them, some of them fast sugar or fast coffee or fast TV or internet, or people fast in all different ways. I think it's just about saying no to something so that I can say yes to Jesus, or so that I can kind of feel the pang of that thing. And it teaches me about longing and it teaches me about hunger and facilitates my prayer life.
Yeah, that's great.
That's iFast. And we see iFast miracles on Tuesday. So I'm praying for a whole bunch of them today.
Oh, that's so good. I love it. Awesome. Okay. So trauma.
Trauma. Yes. I like it. Go deep or go home. Right?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's why I like you so much. I know I got time for a bunch of how's the weather.
No, I can't do it. I mean, this is why I end up having conversations about trauma with strangers.
Yes.
On a very regular basis.
Yes. I got a lot of really good response, like questions back from people.
Great.
It's apparently a big deal. People want to know about it.
Here's the deal is we live in a hurting world and there is just brokenness all around us. And the truth is, I think we are all broken. And we are all traumatized in some way, whether it's big T trauma or little T trauma, the big T, the big deals, the rape and abandonment and abuse and death and all these huge things, or if it's little T trauma, the things that happen to us on a daily basis, the hurts, relational things, the things from our childhood, like we are all jacked up.
Yeah, for sure.
And now how do we do that well in our own lives? And then how do we walk with people who are hurting and do it well? I do think there's a movement now to recognize that maybe we haven't done it well in the past and to seek out how do I do this more effectively.
Yes.
Perhaps because a lot of us have been hurt by people doing it ineffectively.
Yeah. But if you don't know how to do it, then you don't do it at all. And that's also ineffective. So yeah, I wanted to start with asking, let's talk about our own personal trauma and then we'll talk about how to walk through with other people. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think if we're kind of limping along and bleeding out, we're not really going to be effective at helping other people, right? Sometimes I think we are so accustomed to living in a maybe traumatic situation. Maybe it's all we've ever known, or maybe we think we deserve it, or you know what I mean? And so sometimes we just are pushing through for survival and we don't even realize it's traumatic. Mm-hmm. What would you say are some of the hallmarks you've seen in your work? What does that look like? Like, how could somebody maybe go, I don't know, am I traumatized? Like,
I kind of think, yes, you are.
Yeah, okay.
Like, if you're listening to this, yes, you are. Because here's the deal. If we're going to go back to scripture, scripture tells us that the enemy is prowling around like a lion, right?
Yep.
Seeking to destroy.
Yep.
So all of us have trauma. And I think a lot of times we're looking at our degrees of trauma to decide whether or not we're traumatized.
Yeah, if it counts.
Right. And so you're right. Like none of us, the moms I work with in Uganda, none of us have faced perhaps what they have faced. The LRA, rebel forces have not come through our towns necessarily, rape and murder and all of these things. We may not have faced that, but that doesn't mean we are not traumatized in some way. I think we have to be careful even using the word trauma to decide whether or not we need healing. And the truth is we live in a broken world and we need healing.
Yeah. I had a friend the other day who said, would that have happened in the Garden of Eden? And I thought, no. And they're like, okay, well, then it wasn't supposed to happen, you know?
Right. Then you have brokenness.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we're trying to avoid our trauma or we're wondering if it's valid.
Exactly.
Like, well, it's not as bad as so-and-so, so I need to like shove it aside. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, like, that's why we're starting today. We're talking about our own trauma. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't do your own work, you cannot lead or encourage or inspire other people to do theirs.
Yep.
Because what kind of a hypocrite would you be if you're like, I totally think you should go to therapy. I want to see this healed in your life. I want to see you have freedom from this, but I'm not necessarily going to do any of my work.
Right. I think sometimes though people don't know, like we're blind to our own messes sometimes, but for the person who's like, something's come up when you've said trauma, they're like, oh, there's that pain point in my life. What are they supposed to do? Where do they start?
Brené Brown is talking a lot recently about get curious.
Okay. Have you read Rising Strong?
Yep.
I love it. It's so good.
I'm obsessed with her. She says, get curious about your own soul. It lines up with scripture because Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, search my heart and know me, O God. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. We just want to come before the Lord. We want to come before our own selves. We want to search out our soul. Like, let me get curious about my own feelings. Let me start asking questions of, where did I first start thinking that? Mm-hmm. The biggest first step is being willing to look at it.
Not keep pushing it away or get busy or...
Yes. And I think we're so afraid of looking at it. And I just want... Like, if somebody is listening right now and you're afraid to turn inward, I want you to know, like, that's normal.
Yeah.
Like, we are all afraid of it. I don't know why exactly, but we're all afraid of what we're going to find. Yeah. Or perhaps you do know. Perhaps you know what happened and you wonder, is like, is God going to make me go back to that? Am I going to have to remember that again? I've done such a good job walking away from that. Done such a good job putting a box around that, and I don't want to go back.
Some days I don't even think about it. Look how far I've come, right?
Oh, yes, exactly. And kind of to reference what we talked about a lot in our last podcast, but the idea of that we have to go to our tomb if we're going to go to the other tombs of other people. So Lazarus, right? Best story in the Bible. The kind of miracles we want to be a part of. If you're listening to this, you came because you wanted to hear about healing, or you wanted to walk others through healing. Mm-hmm. Like, you're passionate about that. And that's what we see in the story of Lazarus. We see the dead brought to life. But I think it's so important that we start at our own tomb, because the tomb is such a hard place to be for others, because it's messy and it's smelly and it's full of despair and doubt and frustration, and it lasts longer than we expected, and all of these things.
And you're afraid it won't end, I think, is another reason why we don't want to go there.
Yes. But if we go to our own tomb first and we see resurrection, then we are so much more able to believe it for others, because we know that 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 it's true. Yeah.
So what does that look like?
Find a therapist.
Okay.
I really believe, like, you want to change the world, go to therapy.
Okay.
Try multiple therapists. Like, not every therapist is going to be right for you.
Okay.
Look around. I do suggest finding a actual therapist, like a licensed therapist, not necessarily just like somebody from your church.
Do you suggest that they be like biblical, or do you, what have you found is the most helpful? Okay.
Not necessarily. It really depends on your wounds.
Okay.
So somebody who is walking through abuse in a marriage, going to a conservative Christian therapist might be very tricky, because they might come with a lot of what their thoughts are and not a true understanding of what does abuse look like and what does abuse do to a woman.
Yeah. I mean, in my marriage, I was told by my pastor, it's fine because I did that to my wife too. My marriage was abusive and my pastor was telling me, it's cool, dude. It's cool.
You're fine. Right. And so I've seen a lot of what we call re-victimization.
Okay.
And that's why I really encourage, like, find a therapist. If you know what your issues are going into it, find somebody who specializes in that.
Okay.
And so if you have spiritual abuse, if you've been hurt by the church, perhaps going to a Christian therapist is not your best plan. Or it could be where you find healing. But you're gonna know. I would suggest finding somebody who specializes in trauma. I did EMDR, which is a trauma modality that I really highly suggest, especially if you struggle with going deep. It helps you. It's all about crossing your left brain, right brain over and over and again. Yep. And it helps you go deeper. And so if you're somebody who wonders if you're going to be able to go deep, go to somebody who specializes in EMDR.
Okay.
There's other things that are more Christian-based. There's one called Splankna, S-P-L-A-N-K-N-A, Splankna, and that's a body testing technique.
Interesting.
So it sort of works the same like a lie detector does. You know how like your body reacts to you telling the truth or a lie?
Okay.
That's how they know you're lying in the lie detector test.
Uh-huh.
So Splankna kind of does the same thing to identify wounds that you
might
have.
Like what's going on inside of you.
Yep.
Interesting.
So find a therapist. Number one was get curious, okay?
Okay.
Number two is find a therapist.
Okay.
Because I do think having a professional involved can be really key. Number one, it's just nice because if you put it on your calendar, now I have an hour once a week or once every other week that I'm going to work on my stuff.
Mm, yeah, that kind of makes it important. You know, it kind of validates.
Yes, it does. And here's them, like somebody who's being paid to listen to you.
Yeah. So what would you say about someone who's like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I feel like that might not be, is God happy with that if I'm going to a counselor? I'm just trying to throw out ideas.
I think, yes, he is.
Okay.
I think he has suggested to us that we look for wisdom, where wisdom is to be found. I mean, we go to doctors.
True.
Because they have studied the human body. And so a therapist has studied the human soul.
Mm-hmm.
You can try somebody out. A lot of times they'll even give you a free first session.
Okay.
Check and see, do I feel safe here?
That's so good.
Is this somebody I feel safe with? Do I feel seen?
And give yourself permission to say, this is not a good fit.
Right. Yeah. There are lots of bad therapists too. So,
yeah.
And we will cheer you on. If you're going to start going to therapy, you can go ahead and message both of us.
Yes.
And we will cheer you on because it's hard because you're going and the first time you have to like spill your guts. And then if you don't really like the person, you're like, great, I have to do that with somebody else.
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay. So someone's gone to therapy and they are dredging up all this stuff. And now they're like, I am worse off than I was before. I didn't used to be depressed, but now I can't get out of the bed. Thanks a whole lot, Brandy.
Uh-huh.
For me, that I've seen women walk through it, I am encouraged because that means it's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's one of those things that, you know, people sometimes say, I don't know whether to hug you or hit you.
Mm, yeah.
Choosing freedom is really, really hard. Walking the road to healing is the hardest thing you will ever do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to pretty it up and act like everybody go to therapy and this is going to be so fun. No, it's going to be awful. It is going to be so, so hard because you are doing the hardest work there is. And if kind of go back to that idea of Isaiah 58, loose the chains of injustice, what you are doing is you're digging around in your soul for the chains of injustice.
Hmm.
And the enemy worked really hard to put those things around you.
Yeah.
And he does not want to let it go. We've all heard the adage, hurt people, hurt people.
Yeah.
Well, the awesome thing is that the opposite is true too. And free people,
hmm.
And whole people heal people, and loved people love people.
Yeah.
And so the enemy is going to do his very best to keep you in chains because he knows that you are going to be a force for freedom and for healing in this world when you do your own work.
Yeah. So you could even, not that you want to do it for other people, because that might be another manifestation of your issues, but realize that you will be used.
100%. I started my healing journey because I knew it would benefit others. And I had friends that are like, yeah, but you're worth it too. But I wasn't in that place.
Mm.
I couldn't believe that yet until I did a lot more healing.
Okay.
And so for me, it did start with, I want to be able to speak healing to others.
Yeah.
And I will do it for them. I had this picture of these women and these girls around the world who'd suffered through human trafficking and through global poverty. And I was like, it's worth it for them.
Yeah.
Pick who you want to pick, whoever it is. Maybe it's worth it for your kids if you're a mom.
Yeah, I would think that's a big motivator.
Because guess what? Like, we raise up what we are.
Mm.
So if you are a mom or a dad, there are men who listen to this. I have friends who listen to this podcast and they're men.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, welcome, men.
If you're a boy listening, three cheers. We love you. but for your kids, do you want them to struggle with the same way that you've struggled?
Yeah.
Or do you want to be the kind of parent or the kind of sister or the kind of mentor or the kind of aunt or uncle or grandparent or whatever it is, leader? Do you want to be the kind of person who says, I will confront the hard things in me for healing so that I can lead you to healing too?
Yeah.
You will lead your kids down a path of healing. I promise.
Tell me about that experience with you getting healthy and what it did with your kids.
Oh, my dear. It's almost ridiculous. because my daughter would come home and she would say, the kids in my class don't even know what boundaries are, Mom. Well, yeah, because that's not a normal thing for, she was seven at the time, a seven-year-old to talk about.
That's like, so funny.
And she'll be like, they just don't understand what it means to really like seek out safe people and know how valuable that is.
I love it.
And so now at 10, she knows that. Like, she will describe somebody as, they're somebody who I feel seen by, and I feel like my soul is safe in their presence. She also knows, like, my voice matters. And my kids all talk to each other because this is, like, a big deal for us. It's like, that person's voice matters. If they asked you not to touch them, then their boundaries matter. They have control over their own body. And they get to use their voice, and their voice matters. And so I think, like, if we do some of this work now, maybe she won't have some of the issues. She'll have issues. Like, I wanted to make it normal too for my kids. So all my girlfriends and I, like, we talk about how much we love our therapist. If that's all we do is we normalize healing and we stop living in the shadows and acting like we don't need healing, then my dear, that would be the greatest gift I could ever give my kids.
Yes.
I'm pretty regularly asked if I think there's this much brokenness in the world or if I just see it. I pretty much on a regular basis have people tell me their stories of sexual violation.
They just come to you with it.
Rarely does a day go by that I don't hear about someone's kind of deepest, darkest, hard stuff.
Why do you think that is? Because you're healthy and able to hear it?
I do think it's because people are hungry for somebody who's safe.
Okay, what makes you safe?
I think that safety has a lot of things that go into it. I'd really encourage people to read the book Safe People. Cloud and Townsend. It's phenomenal at really describing it. And so this is just kind of an overview, but it's somebody who you, your soul feels welcome in this space. And you know you're not going to be judged. And you also know you're not going to be invalidated. You're not going to be shushed. Don't think that was it.
Okay, so let me ask you, before you went through all this work yourself, were you as safe of a person, or did you become a more safe person?
I for sure became a more safe person.
Okay.
I do think that somewhere along the way, I've been told this kind of stuff like since I was in high school. I was the girl who'd like never kissed a boy, and yet my friends would come up and tell me like that they'd been molested. And so somehow I had this kind of written on my soul in some way. But I also shudder to think what my response was way back when to people and their trauma. And I think I should go back and apologize to everyone for the advice I gave and the trite answers I came up with that now make me just shudder.
Okay, so let me go ahead.
Well, I think like we're all hurting. Okay, so I don't actually think I come across more people who are hurting than the average person.
Right.
I just think they tell me.
Okay.
So I think if you look around and if you think of your circle of friends, they're all hurting. There is brokenness in your neighborhood, whether or not you live in the inner city or you live in the nicest neighborhood in town. There's absolute utter brokenness in your neighborhood and in your school and in your families and in your groups of friends. The question is, are we honest about it? And are we facing it? And are we doing something about it?
Yeah.
And then are we safe enough people that other people have that freedom, that they can come tell us, that they have a safe place to land? I was talking to a girlfriend recently about the idea in Jeremiah of cities of refuge. And I just thought, what if we as the church said, you know what we want to be more than anything is we want to be a safe place to land.
And you really cannot be that if you don't feel safe yourself.
So it does, it has to start with our own work, because other people's stuff, like if you say, I want to help with XYZ issues and I'm going to dive into broken places, they're going to trigger your stuff. And you're going to realize, oh crap, I don't know. Like, now
let's dive out of that.
It's about me. So I need to head over into therapy. Yeah. But it also is what gives you authority.
Absolutely. Which I think is for sure why your original podcast interview resonated so much, because you speak with an authority that most people wish they could speak with. You know what I'm saying?
And that took being brave enough to do healing work. Because you guys, it was hard for me. I did my healing work all by myself. I literally did not have one single friend in the city I lived in. I had PTSD. I was throwing up everything I ate. I was shaking all of the time. I had lost a ridiculous number of pounds. Like, I was under 100 pounds when I went home for Christmas.
Oh my God.
And it was the hardest journey I ever did. And so when I say this is going to be hard, I want you to know that I know hard. And I also can promise you that if you keep running, it is worth it. Do healing like it is your job, because it is. Like, make this the one thing you do.
Yeah.
Because you know it will pay off. It will pay off in your family. It will pay off in your relationships. It will pay off in your parenting. It'll pay off in your work.
Everything.
It'll pay off in your ministry.
Yeah.
You are worth the hard journey of healing. I want you to hear us say that to you.
Yeah, that's so important. Or you won't even do it.
Yes, you can. You can do it. And God is faithful. And there is nothing too broken that He can't put it back together.
Yep.
In new and beautiful ways. And my life looks nothing like it did before. He did not just patch it back up and now it like looks like something's that's been patched up. Let's all be honest. Mm-hmm. He creates something new and beautiful. And I think that's the scary part. The truth is, as much as we hate our wounds, we know them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm comfortable here. I know this. This is my jam.
Mm-hmm.
And so to step out of it in any way, freedom is terrifying to most people.
Who will I be? Yeah. You know, and I think for me personally, just to get a little deep, I use humor a lot of times as a defense mechanism. Yeah. And as I'm walking through healing, but as I do that, I think, oh my gosh, what if I put this down and who am I going to be? Am I going to be like boring? Am I going to be like not funny? Yes. I like my funny defense mechanism, but to realize that, you know, new does not mean boring.
Right.
Or, you know, my personality is something that God gave me and wants me to have. So it is scary to think, hold it, what's the finished product going to look like? And is it going to be lame?
Well, what are my relationships are going to look like? Because here's the deal. Your freedom exposes other people's chains.
Okay.
And it's hard.
They don't love
and
that.
And honestly, if you walk to freedom and you're in a whole bunch of dysfunctional relationships, everything hits the fan.
Yeah.
It's good because you're going to walk to healthier relationships, but it may change your friendships. It will change your marriage.
Yeah.
It will change your family dynamics.
Yeah.
And you may be the first one in that group, whatever that group is, to say, I'm going to seek healing. And so everybody else is like, hey, wait a second.
You're getting weird.
This worked.
Yeah.
You've been living in this dynamic. How dare you change the game? And so you may have people around you who are cheering you on for healing, and you may have people around you who are trying to take you kicking and screaming back into the chains.
Yeah.
Because the chains are comfortable for them.
Okay. So let me just ask, and I know there's obviously not a timeline, but I am type A and I love, you know.
Oh, I know.
Is it safe to say that it's quite a long process? Like years.
Yes,
you can't expect it to be fast.
It is. It's so much longer than I wish it was. And I remember just begging Jesus to make it fast.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, some of that has to do with how passionately you pursue it and how deep your wounding is.
Yeah.
So I had multiple traumas and then traumas added on to the traumas and other relationships that were affected. So now I have new wounds and all of this kind of stuff. So I had a lot to heal from, but I also attacked it like it was my job. Like all I did was healing work. I journaled. I read like a book of the Bible every day.
Okay.
And I went to therapy 1 to 2 times a week. And every time I was like, okay, let's dive into the deepest, hardest things.
Okay. Well, let me just ask you though, for somebody who's considering jumping into this, do you eventually not feel as wounded and crushed?
You will get to the place where you feel whole.
Okay.
You will take a breath one day and you will realize like, oh my dear, I don't feel it again.
Okay.
And I look back at my time hop, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And oh, I just see the brokenness. I see the brokenness in my voice. I hear the desperation for things to get better.
Okay.
Or for somebody to come rescue me. And it was so, so, so hard. But I don't feel any of those things anymore.
Okay. Because I think somebody needs to see what the other side looks like before they're willing.
I promise you that healing is possible. New life is possible. And does that mean that I never need to do healing work now? No, of course not. Because life's hard.
Yeah.
People say things and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to deal with that.
Okay, yeah.
Things happen and I'll be like, huh, I think I need to call my therapist.
That was hard, yeah.
We don't desire to reach a point of completion. Like, that's not going to happen.
I do desire that, but it's not realistic.
Yeah. Okay, so we have to redefine what success looks like.
Yeah.
And the truth is, success looks like being open before the Father and saying, like, I want healing. I desire healing in my inmost places.
Mm-hmm.
And He will do that. He will do it slowly and steadily. And for some people, they like crawl along the road to healing, mm-hmm. and some people run. So it's different for every person. You can't compare your healing journey to anybody else's.
Just the way you shouldn't compare your trauma.
Right. There are just so many factors. And what you can do is you can say, I am going to choose healing. Mm. There's all these people on Etsy who make signs. Go get an Etsy sign that says choose healing or I choose healing. Write it on your mirror. Make it a choice on a daily basis that says, I am going to dive into this and I'm not going to turn back until I see freedom.
So let's talk about what does that look like if we're trying to walk through it with other people?
Okay. So once you do your healing work, here's the thing you're going to see is that all these people start coming to you. Mm. All of a sudden you start, you know, read some more Brené Brown, Darren Greatly, and you're talking about vulnerability more and you're maybe sharing things and people start spilling their guts to you. Okay. And maybe that's already happened for you. Maybe you haven't even started your healing journey and you've got people in your life who are facing different levels of brokenness. Mm-hmm. My number one piece of advice is figure out how to be safe. Ask the Lord, like, how can I be safer? Being safe means you don't have a lot of advice.
So good.
We're going to go ahead right now and say we don't want to say any more trite phrases.
Yeah.
So please don't tell a single girl Jesus is your boyfriend.
So good.
Please don't tell somebody who's lost a child, like, well, God must have needed your child in heaven.
Yeah.
Please don't tell somebody who's been raped that everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
We have to take off our need to fix it and our need to make it okay. Because the truth is, when we walk into trauma, when we walk into broken places in this world, our mind starts reeling and we want it to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So Brené teaches us about this. She talks about how our brain, like, we actually get, like, I think it's dopamine, okay. right? So we get, like, little bursts of happiness. So that's why we like doing, like, puzzles or solving things, because our brain rewards us for that. Mm-hmm. And so when we walk into brokenness, our first response is that we want to solve it or we want to make it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to give up that need to make somebody else's pain make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. Life is hard.
Yeah.
Stop talking after that.
So good. What about though, when you want to offer something that you know is true and you know they know it's true, still don't talk?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Almost always don't talk. The thing people need to hear more than anything is validation.
Okay.
Like if I could teach people to do one thing, it would be to validate others.
What's that look like?
So here's the deal. I really think that one of our greatest needs is to be seen.
Okay.
I think that's why the story in the Bible of Hagar was so valuable and is just so poignant,
okay.
is that she names him the God who sees me. And I think that's what we desire. And so especially when we're in pain, what we want to know is, like, am I crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, should I not be in this amount of pain? Should this not hurt? I'm so sorry. I need to put it back together again. And people want pain to be quick.
Mm-hmm. Tidy.
They want it over and they want it to make sense. Who knows why? We could examine our fast food mentality and our sitcoms, 30-minute sitcoms, it needs to be over.
Good point.
We don't do pain well. And so what people want to know is that they're allowed to be in pain.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things I say is, of course you're sad. Really sad things happen to you. Of course you're afraid. Scary things happened. Of course you're mad. That was an injustice. Kind of that idea of you're okay to be upset here, because what somebody else feels is they feel like they need to clean it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they wonder if you think, like, come on, get yourself together.
Yeah.
And so if we can start by making people feel very seen, that whatever you're feeling, there is a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to do a really, really, really good job at that before we ever move on to anything else.
Okay. And that's so much harder than it seems like, especially with our kids. When we're like,
right?
This is not valid, when really it probably is, but it certainly doesn't seem valid.
Right. And I say, you know, look at the other reasons too. A lot of times if people haven't done a lot of healing work, then whatever is happening to them, it's that situation, but it's also like every other situation that has spoken that particular lie.
It kind of compounds.
Yeah. Yes. And so that could be triggered to da 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 da. But no matter what, people rarely can move on before they're validated.
Okay.
I'll give you my two favorite metaphors.
Okay.
Because I love word pictures. So I hope you guys do too.
No, it's great.
So the first one is about a soldier. So if a soldier is in Afghanistan and he has his AK-47 and his flak jacket.
Okay.
So they've got a gun and they have protection, right? So everybody thinks that's a great idea. Then they come home and they get a target. and they wear their flak jacket and bring their gun and everybody freaks out.
Right.
Okay, so what happens if you run up to that soldier and you try to take their gun?
Wouldn't go well.
It would not go well. But what would happen if we walked up to that soldier and we said, hey, are you remembering some really hard things? You really needed that gun, didn't you? When you were on the battlefield, that flak jacket and that gun, they kept you alive. They were valuable to you. And we really, like, we just validated him. Mm-hmm. Then we got to the point where we said, but right now you're at target, so do you think you need it anymore? Mm-hmm. And then we gave him the opportunity to lay it down.
Okay.
And I think too often, whether it is pain or whether it's the defense mechanisms, I really believe we pick up swords and shields along the way too.
Yeah.
So some of them are our defense, like we're going to keep people at bay. Mm-hmm. And some of them are swords. You've all seen the mean girl who's like, I will hurt you before you hurt me. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, those swords and their shields, they picked them up for a reason.
Yeah.
And it was really, really valid. And whatever that emotion is that they're experiencing, they're doing it for a reason. Because here's the deal. We are not stupid. So whatever they are living in this moment, they have reason to think that.
Yeah.
So if the first thing you can tell them is you're not stupid. You're not stupid for feeling this way. Or I can totally understand why you would react that way.
Yeah.
Especially those of you who are walking with people who are reacting in ways that you don't understand or that look really horrible or is causing destruction. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, they're making those choices for reasons.
Right. Okay.
And so if we can validate that, then we can get to the core. And it's only then where they feel seen and then they can ask the Lord, like, do I need this? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Then they can start to lay it down.
How do we not take on another person's trauma as we walk through it with them? Like regarding foster parenting or something like that.
Part of this is doing your own healing work.
Okay.
And when you do, then you recognize that like God's the healer.
So good.
Right? And so now if God is the healer, then my only job is to let people be healed by God. I have friends who tease me that my only piece of advice is ask Jesus. Okay. What should I do about that? I don't know. You should ask Jesus. I don't have any advice. Here's the deal. Read your Bible and you'll have so much less advice.
So good.
Because God told Abraham to kill his kid.
Yeah, that was so unconventional.
I'm out when it comes to advice.
Yeah.
Like, because if Abraham had come to me, I'd been like, yeah, no, that wasn't God.
No kidding.
I would have told Elijah he was wrong when he came and said, God told me to go to the mountains, but not to worry because the ravens were going to feed me for the next 30 days. I would have been like, that's great. Let's pack a peanut butter and jelly.
For sure. Yep.
When I surrender the need to also control their healing, then they get to live their life.
And you get to live yours.
And you get to live yours. Yeah. I mean, this goes back to, again, getting the book Boundaries too, which is also by Cloud and Townsend.
So good. Yeah, I love that one.
And understanding like your life is yours and I'm not trying to control it. I'm not trying to be your savior. I'm not trying to be your healer. I can't pick you up. Even if you might want me to, I can just walk alongside you. And I think that is one of my biggest passions is not creating systems of hierarchy.
Yeah. How do you stop that?
I just want to walk alongside somebody.
How do you make sure they're not idealizing you and putting you on a pedestal?
Number one, I think safely sharing some of your stuff.
Okay.
Saying, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. You should ask Jesus about that.
Okay.
I don't know. Did you ask your therapist about that?
Okay.
Like not trying or needing to have all the answers, even if they want you to or you want to.
Yeah.
And then honestly, it's still going to be hard, you guys. Maybe I'm just the really wrong person to ask about this. I'm reading the book Trauma Stewardship right now.
Okay.
Because honestly, I think a lot of times I suck at this. It is heavy. It is so heavy. I think sometimes, especially for me as a single mom, like not having anybody at night to come home to and say like, I just need to tell you the things I heard today. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you what happened to her as a little girl? Because I just need to speak it.
So what do you do?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's why I'm reading the book. They're going to tell me. I call my therapist.
Okay.
I have friends that I can tell some things to. Well, obviously not like I would never tell somebody's story and
not
say like
details,
yeah. What so-and-so went through.
Yeah.
I might say, you know, I talked to a girl who was struggling with this and here's what I just need to speak out loud.
How do you let it not crush you?
Right. I mean, well, here's the deal. I think it's supposed to hurt, honestly.
Okay.
I think we do the whole yoke is easy as burden is light thing a little bit too freely.
Okay.
So I'm actually calling crap on that. Not that I don't think it's true, because I do think, but I think Jesus was talking about salvation there.
I have not heard people call crap on the Bible like ever. Right. So I appreciate that.
So I'm not crap on the way we use it.
Okay. So funny.
there was answering to the Pharisaical law. Like, here's all the laws. And Jesus was like, no. My burden is easy.
Yeah.
Like, yoke is light. Like, come on. I go back to the story of Jesus going to Golgotha. And he's got the cross on his back, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think it's Simon who comes along. And I could be wrong. So go ahead and all of you email us and tell us how wrong I am. Who carries the cross for Jesus. Mm. But what I don't see is Jesus being like, that's not heavy. You're fine. Like, no. I feel like when Jesus leans down to me, when I am like, Jesus, this is so hard. These stories hurt my soul.
Yeah.
That Jesus says, I know, baby girl, because I was holding them before you did. And I'm still holding them with you.
Yeah.
When we pray, break my heart for what breaks yours. Mm. We cannot expect to live without a broken heart.
Very good point.
And so if you are going to go into the brokenness of this world, I am standing here saying, I think you should come here, but I am also standing here saying, and you will live the rest of your days with a broken heart. Mm. Last night, I was working on some stuff for Beauty for Ashes Uganda, that nonprofit that I run, mm-hmm. and I was typing in stories of moms. And I just sat at my computer just weeping. Mm. Over what has happened to these women who are so precious to me. And there are days when I am not going to lie. I want to run and I don't want this to be my life. There are days when I say, I am all done hearing rape stories. Hmm. But the truth is, this is where we see the dead come to life.
Yeah.
We are not asking for the tomb to be a party zone.
Hmm.
You don't need to clean it up and bring air freshener so it doesn't smell so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to recognize that this is the tomb, but that doesn't mean it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Just because it's painful. And so whoever you are walking with, if you don't cry over what they've been through, like, you might want to check that.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm going to quit my job the day I stop crying over these things.
Yeah.
And so I think part of holding this and holding it well is recognizing it's heavy.
Yeah.
And stop trying to make it light.
It's true. Okay, so I have a question. For someone who is super practical, and this seems like an imagination exercise, I may or may not be speaking like from experience. What does it look like when you say, I don't know, you should ask Jesus? That sounds like, what? Huh? What does that look like when you are, Brandy, with Jesus? What are you, sitting on a couch? Are you floating in the clouds? Like, what's going on in your head?
I'm either really, if I'm going to be listening to Jesus, I'm running or I'm in the shower.
Okay. So you've got a place that you know.
Those are just the only times I'm alone.
Okay.
I think that might be it. So really, it's just about like actually asking. And sometimes that's easier to do on paper and to just journal. And then sometimes I'll switch colors of pens I use and be like, and what are you saying, God? And I just kind of journal, and I think that might be from the Lord.
That's a great idea. Okay. Because I have friends who like dance with Jesus, and I'm like, me and Jesus don't dance.
No, Jesus would laugh at me.
Yeah. So it's different.
Jesus
for...
didn't give me good rhythm. But although that is one of my images that I see sometimes, is dancing in a field with Jesus.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Some people do that. And I'm not at that place. We have never done that.
Yeah. Mine's not actual dancing. It's more like an image of dancing, maybe. Like, I can see that Jesus delights in me like that. But I actually stand up.
Okay.
Okay. I do not have dance. I dance in two places, Indian brothels and Uganda.
Wow.
Tell you that story. That's another day.
You kill me.
So I think very practically, it's just about asking.
Okay.
And I think very practically, when it comes to trauma and to walking with others, it's about making the choice to do it.
Okay.
Because I think if you offer yourself as a place for the hurting are going to find you. They just are. And then you make a decision that I'm not going to try to solve this.
Mm.
I'm only going to try to love and love well. Because there's a difference between loving somebody and loving someone well.
Mm.
And that may look very practical. If this is a newly single mom, love looks like making her dinner or babysitting her kids. Let's also talk about how if we're going to walk with the hurting, be prepared to be inconvenienced, because pain and trauma, they're not convenient. It's not like 15 minutes and I can offer that and then I can go back to my nice, pretty life.
Yeah.
Like, if you're willing to walk with the hurting, then you need to be willing to have somebody knock on your door who's crying.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be willing to be like, okay, kids, we're ordering pizza tonight because I need to sit with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
This mess is coming in my house.
Mm.
I had the sweet opportunity this summer to befriend two kids who had been in my son's class who were living in the margins in a lot of ways. And it doesn't always look easy. There are days this summer that I was like, like, I am a work at home mom as a single mom with three kids. Like, the last thing I need is two extra kids. Mm-hmm. But if I am going to make a choice as a person of who I want to be, is I want to mm-hmm. be somebody who seeks out people in the margins and loves well, then guess what? That means two extra kids.
And I think if you don't do the healing ahead of time, that means 30 extra kids and you're on the streets too because you spent all your money because someone asked for it. Like, if you don't have boundaries,
right,
you can't do it.
And you have to know which person you are. So you need to know which part of the pendulum that you're on. So, because I think a lot of times then we've done too much boundaries and we're like, oh, I just don't want to be inconvenienced.
Right.
And then we use boundaries as our excuse to not be inconvenienced.
True.
And then if we're on the other side of the pendulum, we are too afraid of being selfish because we've never gone and done the work of understanding our own belovedness, that we don't know how to say no, and we don't know how to take the time for our own healing.
That's tricky. It is messy.
That's the hard thing, is if you came to this podcast because you were looking for answers, we don't have any. It's going to look so different for you and your journey. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing to go to your own tomb? And are you willing to stay there and fight there for freedom and for healing so that you can see the dead places in your own life come back to life? And then are you willing to go to it with others? The other thing I would say, particularly for Christian women, is we need to be prepared for the despair and the doubt.
Okay.
At the tomb, Mary and Martha met Jesus, and the first thing they said is, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Where the heck were you, Jesus? And we don't do a great job as a church of offering space for doubt.
Yeah, you're right.
We're so afraid of it. But guess what? Like, their journey is long. It's okay. Like, let people journey. They don't need to get back to like full trust 1 second later.
Yeah, by the end of the coffee talk time.
Right, exactly. Like, let them journey. Know that despair and doubt are a part of the story. Despair and doubt are a part of the Easter story. Friday, Jesus dies. Yeah. Saturday, all hell breaks loose.
Not great.
What the heck is happening?
Not a great day.
Savior is gone. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. It's not until Sunday.
Yeah.
And we rush past Saturday because it makes us uncomfortable.
It's true.
You have to be willing to be uncomfortable and be willing to be like, yeah, you know what? I don't know. Why did Jesus do this? Why did he allow this? I don't know. I have the same question.
Well, then do people say, well, what good are you?
No.
No.
Okay. Nobody.
Because I think that's the fear. You don't want to be told that you're doing bad at walking with friends.
Most people don't want your answers, because if the answers were easy, then they were idiots for not being able to figure it out.
That's such a good
point. Like, I don't need your answer. One of the most healing things for me, even this many years later, so I'm 6 years out as a single mom.
Okay.
And sometimes being single is hard. Hmm. And I feel really whiny if I complain about it.
Okay.
And the most precious, healing, sacred thing people tell me is, I don't know how you do it. And I have friends who are like, you know what? I really struggle with Jesus about it, honestly, because I don't know why he wouldn't give you somebody.
Hmm.
Because the work you do, like, you need a partner. And that doesn't make me question Jesus more. It makes me feel not crazy.
That's so true.
And so if you tell a mama who's lost her child, like, I don't know why Jesus did that. I'm so sorry. I don't know. I don't have answers.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely she will breathe a sigh of relief, because she knows she doesn't have to hide in front of you anymore.
Yeah, you get it.
Yes. Here's another thing everybody should do.
Yeah.
Go download the song Just Cry.
Okay.
By Mandisa.
Okay. Is it good?
It's so good. And here's my favorite part. She has this line, and it's all about you just cry. Like, just cry, just cry. And she has a line that says, it doesn't mean you don't trust him. It doesn't mean you don't believe. It doesn't mean you don't know he's redeeming everything.
So good.
It could last for the night. Everything could be different tomorrow. But today, let those prayers roll down your face.
Huh.
And too often, we are afraid of giving people the space, including ourselves, to just cry.
Yeah.
Just say, baby girl, this is hard. I am so sorry. Just cry. You don't have to have it all fixed today. I'm not expecting your life to be fixed. I'm not expecting mine to be fixed. I'm just going to let myself cry. You can do all of that while still seeing the beauty.
It's true.
And there are times that I've walked with friends and I've said, you know, let's get down in this pit, but let's have our breadcrumbs that lead us back home too. And those are about, like, can we take a second today and can we identify beauty? Not as a way to invalidate your pain and to say, guess what? Your life really isn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But as a way to say, and God is still good.
Yeah.
If you're in a place where they can say that. Mm-hmm. If not, that's okay. Let them be there. But to say, and beauty still exists. Beauty is coming. If there's one thing you can do, it is to speak truth and promises over your friends. To say, beauty is coming. You are worth this journey. You are loved. You are worth loving. You are worth protecting. What happened to you wasn't okay. Jesus wept when that happened. His heart was moved with compassion. The Latin actually for the word compassion is to suffer with. And so if we are going to be moved by a heart of compassion like Jesus was, then we're going to suffer with others. And it is there that we are going to find Jesus, because it says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Yeah. So if you've been saying, like, I just want to be where you are. I love that song. Mm-hmm. I just want to be where you are. Well, guess what? He told us where he is. He told us. He's close to the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
So you snuggle up next to the brokenhearted. It's going to break your heart. You are going to suffer with, but you're also going to experience the power and the presence of God in ways you never expected.
So good. Brandy, love talking to you.
I love talking to you. I feel like we could do like talk for 10 hours
straight. I know. We absolutely could. We absolutely could. And I think this is such good stuff. And it probably seems like I've just told you to say nothing. And, you know, be safe. But it's all so good because we feel like we don't know what to do. And so we don't do anything. And not saying anything is very different than not doing anything. You know what I mean? Creating space for people and being with them, walking through it, is so important. And we don't
and
know.
We're not saying to ignore it.
That's
we're
what
not
I mean.
Saying not to not just don't say anything. Don't address anything.
Right. No.
Because then your silence speaks volumes.
Oh, that it's not important enough to even. Yeah.
Right.
But just the being with without all the extra words and advice.
Right.
So important.
Just be with. See people. And ask God that. Say, can I be somebody who sees others well and loves them? And it's going to be hard and holy and sacred and broken and beautiful.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us again. Yes. I will connect everybody to what you're doing on the show notes. And you heard feedback from the last one.
I did. I was so thankful for people who emailed me and people donated.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Going on in Uganda, which is so encouraging. And people sent messages on Instagram. And I just want them to know that we are praying for them. Like, this is hard stuff. We know that we have not just asked everybody to like go throw a tea party.
No, not a tea party.
This is hard stuff. And I say it with kind of a somber heart because I know what I'm asking.
Yeah.
But I also know that it is worth it because you are worth it and because the people around you are worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they may not have ever been told that.
I know.
So could you be the first one, you know?
Right.
What a place of honor.
To speak that belovedness, that you are loved and you are worth loving.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Brandy. Thank you
so much.
All right. We'll talk again soon.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Oh man, so many good things. As I was editing this episode, I took out probably about 25 times that I said, so good, so good. I was annoyed with how good I thought this episode was. Oh my goodness. So all the books and songs and everything that she recommended are going to be at the show notes at momstrugglingwell.com. So head over there, forward this to your friends who you think this would be helpful. I just feel like it's a really great tool. She's done a lot of work to get where she is, and we get to be the ones that benefit from it. So like she said, reach out to me, reach out to her. Any questions you have, we are so honored and excited to help you in any way that we can. Find us, the Mom Struggling Well community, on Instagram on Wednesday nights for Struggle Well Wednesdays, where we answer a question about how our days went. It's a good time. You guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for all the hard work you do in your days that your little people don't thank you for. I'm just going to say thank you because it matters what you're doing. And sometimes it also really matters to be thanked. I don't know. I love being thanked. So it's a thankless job that we have. So let me just say, hey, girl, thank you. You're doing good. Have a great week of struggling well.
Talking about money is hard. People all over the world were taught never to talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. But on this show, my goal is to remove money from that list. And so I'm excited to bring you 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning from Blind Nil Audio and executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines. Follow and listen to 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning with me, Carl Richards, wherever you get your podcasts.